Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
One and five through the first six games, where everybody thought this is going to be one heck of a gauntlet for the team. The only problem is, you could have won several of those games. You won one you probably shouldn't have, the one you did win. And then yesterday, just befuddling.
Befuddling. What a great word, Jeff.
Befuddling. Well, wasn't it, though?
Yes, it was.
Let's go to the fan hotline. He's our buddy who joins us every Monday at 11 o'clock. We really appreciate that. His work can be read at brownzone.com. Does a great job covering the Browns for the Chronicle Telegram. He's Mr. Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott.
Scotty.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're okay. We're both fed up. Riddle me this. You don't throw it well and you throw it 52 times. You run it well and you run it 17 times. Explain. Is there any explanation? I can't even fathom what the play calling was all about yesterday.
Well, I don't think they ran it well yesterday.
But they didn't run it poorly. They kind of abandoned the run.
Well, yeah. Well, there's two things. Like, I think at the end of the half, Judkins had, like, I don't know, 10 yards on six carries or 16 yards on six carries. Like, it wasn't a lot, but it wasn't good when he ran the ball. Now, does that mean you need to abandon it when it's only a 9-3 game? The answer is probably no. And you know, Joe Bitonio, who, you know, is the best guy in the world and the most loyal guy, I thought he expressed some frustration with that after the game, saying something like, you know, if we don't have success really early, then we get away from it. And I don't have the right quote in front of me, or the exact quote. But it was, you know, we got to be really good early or we're going to get away from it. And I know that the linemen don't like that. And they especially don't like it when that means you're going to throw it 52 times and it's against the Steelers pass rush. It's really good. It makes the line look bad, and it's just tough to pass protect that often.
Scott, I loved his line when he said, if you're going to throw it 60 times, he's going to get hit.
Right. Right. And that's the reality. And at some point, that game shifted where the Browns needed to throw it every down. Right. But it wasn't until the fourth quarter, I would argue, is when they had to do that. Now, I get it, and we've had this discussion time and again.
Yep.
I think it's hard as a play caller to call runs when you're getting 1 and 2 yards. It just is. It feels like you're beating your head against the wall. You know you have these pass plays in your playbook and in the game plan that are designed to work. You can get chunk plays throwing the ball, and it's hard to keep doing that because then you also put yourself in third and long, which leads to your quarterback, you know, getting pressure and getting hit. So it's a tough spot as a coordinator, as a play caller. But looking back, I would agree with Joel, and I'd agree with you, Jeff, that they stopped running it earlier than they should have, and that's the only way you're going to keep the Steelers off balance at all, because we saw what happens when you just drop back. They just come after you, and the Browns line, especially at left tackle, is not ready to protect like it needs to be.
Scott, I think it was one play over 20 yards yesterday. How do they get more than 4 yards a play, especially when you're down, you're trying to get back in the game? I mean, they had long sustained drives that only resulted in 3 points in that fourth quarter. So how does the offense get bigger, better, and down the field?
Well, I mean, that's been an issue all year long, and it was again yesterday. And there's multiple facets here. One is you need to be able to protect to throw the ball down the field. And we've seen that the Browns have struggled in that area. And yesterday, to start the game, was as healthy as they've been since the opener. You had Jack Conklin back at right tackle. You had Cam Robinson at left tackle. That's as good as your line is probably going to be the rest of the year. And then Jack leaves in the third quarter. Robinson leads late, but struggled before that. But my point is, your quarterback needs to be able to sit in the pocket and wait for guys to get downfield. And that has not been the case. He just hasn't had that opportunity. So that makes it difficult. You need receivers that get open down the field, and that's also been a problem. And then you need the receivers to catch the ball when they're down the field. So this is all not even including the quarterback making the right throw, right? And that's why they're struggling offensively. That's why they're struggling for chunk plays. And it's because the protection hasn't been good enough, and the receivers aren't doing a good enough job getting separation, and then when they do get the ball, hanging on to the ball. So now what I'm kind of trying to get my head around is why it's so hard, right? It just feels like everything with this offense is so hard, and there's no easy plays, and there's no, okay, there's a busted cover and the guy's running loose, or, you know, Kevin Stefanski used to scheme up guys, right, where a guy would be running free coming across. It just doesn't feel like that anymore. And, you know, I don't know if it's because they're not doing the wide zone anymore, so there's not those play action looks that give you the wide open receivers. I don't know if it's simply the receiving core isn't as good. But everything is too hard. And I'm sure when you're Kevin Stefanski, that's got to be infuriating, because you look at other teams get some easy plays. Right? We saw the Steelers start off. That's an easy play. They run hard play action, the big tight end leaks out, and it's an easy play for 36 yards. And it doesn't feel like the Browns have had any of those this year.
Scott Petrak joining us from the Chronicle-Telegram. Two starts for Dylan Gabriel. Because of the way the game unfolded and asking him to throw it more times than anybody else threw the ball yesterday in the NFL, have we had a decent chance to evaluate him? And regardless, what have you thought?
Yeah, I don't think it's a fair evaluation, given, especially yesterday when he's hit 16 times. That's hard for any quarterback. I think he's been fine. You know, obviously he hasn't sparked the offense like the hope was when they made the move from Joe Flacco, right? They've scored 17 and 9, right, which is worse than the Flacco offense that was scoring. It's the first time they haven't scored a touchdown all year. So Gabriel has not had that impact. You know, he made some good throws yesterday. I'm, you know, rewatching the game. I'm in the fourth quarter. You know, there's some good throws. He missed some guys. He got lucky. There could have been, I don't know, 3-4 interceptions. You know, and part of that's because he's getting pressure and trying to get the ball out of his hands. You know, I think he's been fine. You know, I would expect them to give him more opportunities. I think that only makes sense to give more opportunities. I haven't seen anything where I'm like, oh, this guy has no chance to succeed in this league. You know, I don't think he makes a difference with his legs. You know, there's in coming off of Flacco, I think, oh man, he's got this mobility, and obviously he moves better than Flacco, and he probably moves better than Sanders. But he doesn't move well enough where that's going to change the game. You know, at least that's what I think I've seen through two games and watching him practice for months. So he's going to have to sit in the pocket or maybe slide just a little bit. And he's pretty good at just creating a little bit of space. And then he's got to be really accurate. And yesterday I thought it was up and down. But I don't think there's any way to say after two games that we have any kind of really good read on what Dylan Gabriel can be.
All right, let me throw this one at you. Are Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Berry, Paul DePodesta, Jimmy and D. Haslam, are they all thought partners right now? Or do you feel like the ground might be shaking underneath the front office?
I would, man, how could it not be shaky? You know, I don't know if we're talking earthquake shaky, but, you know, maybe when a train goes by and your house moves a little bit. They're, what's the record? 4-19 since the start of 2024. That's really difficult. And I think what makes it even harder is the fact that the offense is so bad, right? Like it's hard to watch. Like the games are not, you know, I mean, I have no problem watching, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it's tough. I get my buddies texting me all the time. This is unwatchable, because if they were losing games 24 or 27, 24, Mm-hmm. You can say, hey, that was a little bit of fun, right? They moved the ball. They scored some points. But when it's 9, when it's 13, when it's 17, when it hasn't been 20 since December 2nd, that's just difficult, and it's hard, and it's not that fun. And, you know, you look at this roster, and, you know, we can talk about this rookie class, and there's a lot of promising things in this rookie class.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
But the receiving core isn't nearly good enough. And we knew that all off season, and for some reason the Browns chose not to make enough moves to bolster that position group, and it's really killing this offense, and it's killing whoever's playing quarterback. And, you know, there's other deficiencies that this team has from a roster standpoint, and then you look at the coaching, and, well, they're not scoring points, and the guy calling the plays is ultimately responsible for that. So I don't, you know, it feels like, or they sound like they're all on the same page, but I know if I were Kevin Stefanski, I would at least internally, and he's not going to say this to anybody, but I would feel if I, and he's never said this, but I would think, man, I don't have enough. I don't have enough to do what I need to do offensively to win games. My hands are tied, and I think that's a tough spot to be in as a coach, and I just think human nature, you'd be frustrated at the lack of, I think, talent that he has in the passing game.
So just backtrack a little bit here. If you're Kevin Stefanski, because we didn't get a chance to talk about this last week, it appeared, and I, again, this is pure speculation, that he may not have been all on board with trading Joe Flacco. Do you agree with that or disagree with that?
Yeah, I understand the speculation.
Yeah.
You know, when he says they were caught off guard, like, I think he's being honest that they just never thought that they would get an offer for Joe Flacco. Mm. Now, when the offer came, did he think, yeah, we should get rid of our veteran quarterback for, you know, to move up from the sixth to the fifth round? I don't know that. You know, I'm sure he would tell you it's Andrew's decision. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't affect yesterday's game. Joe Flacco wasn't going to play yesterday.
Correct.
Right? Like,
right.
Joe Flacco went 1-3 and they benched him. So, you know, I don't know if either of those moves, you know, the other move last week with Newsom for Campbell, like, that caught Jim Schwartz off guard. Like, he said he had to start watching film late Wednesday, that he wasn't, you know, consulted before the trade. I'm sure, like, it bothers the coaches to some degree, but like, I don't think either of those trades hurts the Browns necessarily this year, and I don't feel like either of those trades was a give-up on the season. It just is a little disconcerting if you're the coaches and you're preparing for a game, and all of a sudden your number two quarterback and your number two corner get traded.
Scott, last thought. Is there any chance that the marching orders for this season were, hey, don't worry about the results as much as you should worry about gaining information about the guys on this team?
I think that is the backdrop for everything, Jeff. I also think the reality is, everybody pays attention on Sundays. Everybody knows what your record is. And if they go 3-14, 3-14, it's hard as ownership to say, yeah, I'm good with that. Let's keep the status quo, especially when we know how frustrated and angry this fan base is. And ownership is not oblivious to that. Ownership hears it. And if wins did not matter at all this year, then they should make that abundantly clear. And I think the Haslam's had chances to say that. And, you know, they talked about the future, but never was it, yeah, this year doesn't matter at all for wins and losses. And I just think that's the reality of the situation. Now, maybe we get to January and it is 3-14 and the Haslams come out and say, hey, we were all in this for the rebuild and we had 14 rookies and blah, blah, blah. And we feel Kevin and Andrew are the right guys. But I think it's awfully difficult to say 3-14, 3-14, let's bring everybody back.
I'd agree with you. Mm-hmm. Scott, thanks, buddy. We'll listen for you during Kevin's press conference at 1 o'clock.
Thanks, Scott.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
Scott Petrek, brownzone.com. Always great to have Scott with us here on the show. Kevin Stefanski's press conference at 1 o'clock today. And I wonder what we hear today.
What do you want to hear?
I don't want to hear anything. I want to hear what he has to say.
You think fans would come out and be like, oh, man, I love Kevin because he came out and said, you know what? I went back and looked at the plays I called. I should have ran the ball more yesterday. I don't know what I was thinking. Sorry, I got lost in the moment.
Well, Scott was just with us, Scott Petrek from the Chronicle-Telegram. And you know, Scott pointed out early on it wasn't going well with the running game. And that's true. In the first half, Quinshon Judkins had 6 carries for 14 yards. In the second half, he had 6 carries for 22 yards. So it was a little better in the second half, just under 4 yards per carry. But that's your weapon. That's your weapon. And at the time, you were down 9-3 at halftime.
Although I would argue that he would think that his weapon was Fannin by the end of the game.
Well, okay. Andy, you threw it 52 times, and your team has thrown the football more than any team in the NFL and has had less success throwing the football than all but one team in the NFL.
We had 7 receivers with 10 or more yards in receptions yesterday.
That's great. Did any of them make a play that put any points on the board?
I'm looking in the TD column, and I don't see any. No. A lot of goose eggs. Nothing.
Yeah. Brad is in Rocky River. Hello, Brad.
Bradley.
Yeah, I think it's Bob from Rocky River.
Oh, Bob.
Bob, this sounds like Brad to the young guys who can't listen on the phone.
Hey, that's not nice, Jeff. He's trying to help
Bob
us out.
Bob in Rocky River, welcome.
Robert, how are you?
You know, I think it's more, you know, we're talking about a lot of minutia and the play calling was bad and all that, but this is a 40,000-foot problem. And, you know, you look at the Steelers and they make a lot of mistakes. But they generally go after fast, aggressive, explosive players, and they have a philosophy. And they don't wind up take when you need tackles and you don't have any wide receivers, they don't spend their 3rd and 5th round draft pick on a couple quarterbacks that probably are never going to be starters in the NFL. They don't have 4-person quarterback competitions. They don't give away 3 first-round draft picks for Deshaun Watson. They just don't do those things. They have a philosophy and a plan, and the Browns don't seem to have any direction as to how they're building a team. And it's been going on for a while, and it's going to continue. And unless something's done up top, there's no solution. So thanks a lot, you guys.
All right, Bob, thank you very much. Here's the thing, and we said this since draft day, and you know, all of the draft days. You don't draft a quarterback in the 3rd and 5th round thinking that you have solved your quarterback problem. You hope you do. You hope you get lucky, but there are a reason that quarterbacks last into the draft. And that's no disrespect to Dylan. That's no disrespect to Shadur. What that is following the NFL for decades and knowing how it works. I think it's all but 5. I think it's 5 guys. In the NFL right now, we're first-round draft choices.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we did a whole shtick all summer long, find us a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And we looked at guys in the draft. We looked at other guys. I can't tell you the amount of grief that I received from people when I said Daniel Jones. Well, Daniel Jones is in first place. I caught grief when I said Carson Wentz. Is he in any great shakes? Nope. Is he on his 6th team in 6 years? Yep. Is he 2-1 as the starting quarterback for a pretty good team? Yeah, so far. Will he keep the job? I don't know. Maybe it's J.J. McCarthy. In other words, there were viable guys out there who could play the position rather than taking a quarterback in the 3rd and 5th and keeping your fingers crossed.
Jeff, you just got to let it go. If you're going to say that to me about Baker Mayfield, I'm going to tell you the same thing about these guys. You just got to let it go. You got to turn the page on. Yes, they were a little more recent than Baker. Yeah, I totally get it. And
you know what, though? Let me throw this one at you.
Okay.
If you were going to bring in Kenny Pickett.
I know where you're going to go.
And then you were going to follow him up with Joe Flacco. And I don't mind taking a shot at a young quarterback. And I'm not going to agree with you on this aspect because the Browns...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
Drafting hasn't shown you that they would have nailed their third and fifth round picks anyway. But couldn't Kenny Pickett have done this just fine? If you were waiting for a quarterback for next year?
It should have been either Gabriel or Sanders. Not probably both. Because I go back. The problem with drafting Sanders,
it convolutes the whole thing.
It killed Gabriel. Yeah. It just killed him. Yeah. I mean, like, okay, you're happy, you're excited. Like, it just doesn't, it didn't make any sense. And anyone that wants to say that the draft was not successful, despite the fact that I see players out there that make me believe, you know, Schlesinger.
Carson can play. Mason can play. Andy, the
defense. Quinchon can play. These guys can play.
And though they're good defensive players, the offense stinks. So you drafted two players first who are on the side of the ball that was pretty good.
Why would you draft two rookie quarterbacks, especially knowing that you had two first-round picks going into next year? I just don't,
I don't get it.
I don't understand it. And if you really, really, really like Gabriel, you probably should have taken him earlier than the third round.
You never should have drafted Sanders.
And you never, ever, ever should have taken Sanders.
And if you like Sanders.
And now we're all sitting around here wondering, and what's totally not fair is this kid's had two starts, and everybody's ready. What's Gabriel, man? He can't even throw down the field.
Maybe he can't throw down the field.
Because the coach won't let him throw down the field. Or the coach is saying the first read should be 5 yards. I don't know. I don't know if it's coach. I don't know if it's him. I don't know if he doesn't have time. I don't know if his offensive linemen aren't holding up. I don't know if his wide receivers can do anything. I just don't understand why you buy into the drama. You add to the drama rather than, I hate to agree with the last caller, have stability like they do in Pittsburgh. It's really hard to stomach. Really hard to stomach.
Bill's in Parma. Hey, Bill. Welcome.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Jeff, I'm going to help you with Andy. Andy seems like he's about ready to blow.
No, I'm not.
I'll help here.
Okay.
One of the things I think we have to look at is, the league is not a stable, concrete. It's always fluid. Things are moving. And if you look at the teams that are now moving ahead, like, you know, the one with Baker, you know, Darnold's team, Jones's team, May's team. You know, these quarterbacks are developing, moving ahead. And then last night, Kansas City is now Kansas City again. And they weren't Kansas City, even though they're going to the Super Bowl, for about 3 years. And all of a sudden, they're alive and well and moving. And supposedly, Mahomes is putting up numbers that he hasn't had for like 4 or 5 years. And so that has changed as well. But I figured out who they're going to draft for the quarterback.
Oh, good.
Oh, good. Hang on. Let me write this
down. And you guys, I'm so surprised you hadn't figured this
out. Wait a second. Who's Missouri's starting quarterback? Okay.
Well, we had the same problem. We played Alabama last year, and our best players are running back who leads the nation in running.
Hell, nobody cares.
They only ran him about 5 times.
All right, give me the quarterback.
But anyway, the quarterback situation – is who's our general manager is from Harvard, right?
Here we go. Okay, keep going.
Okay. And Dee Podesta is some smart, you know, computer-like guy. It is going to be a seventh-round draft pick. I don't know his last name. His first name's Joe. And it's going to be a robot, supposedly, being made in a lab. And I'm telling you, do owners like to pay salary for people? No. And so they're going to be starting to have robots.
We're paying eight quarterbacks. You see that story last week?
Can you get the the robot under the cap?
Well, the biggest problem they have, Jeff, is they're trying to find a robot head coach, and they modeled it after Belichick. And the problem is they can't get the guy to get his mind off 20-year-old women.
Okay, Bill. Oh, wow. All of a sudden, Bill, the comedy show
Bill's
in here.
Rolling, baby.
I thought you were going to say that the robot had more personality than Bill did when he was a coach.
If you want Bill, he might be available next week. Jeremy's in Fort Worth, Texas.
AZ,
Jeremy, don't tell her to be nice to
you. She's
got to
chill out
nice
back
guy.
There, man. We can hear you. Talking up a storm.
But. Sorry about that. My wife was telling me a story, and I broke.
Oh, that's okay. Good. No worries. We just want to make sure she didn't say anything that we got to beep out. That's all.
Fair enough. Well, I'm not calling as the official therapist, Monday therapist today. I'm calling for a bit of another reason, which is the problem that I have with the Browns is, like, they're making it really hard to watch any other football game. You know, because what I'm noticing as a fan, every other football game looks relatively normal. And it's like every excuse the Browns have, other teams seem to deal with. It just seems to be that the climate in that locker room and with that organization has just become toxic. Because you can see the Browns' mistakes littered all over the NFL over the last, you know, whatever, decade.
Yeah.
And it just makes it a little tricky to watch other football because you see it everywhere, you know. And I don't think – anyway, that's my thought on that part. And I had a quick thought on Dylan Gabriel too, but – and that's just my thought. Is it's just getting hard to watch other football because it just looks so normal.
All right, Jeremy.
I'm with you.
Your phone was cutting out there, Jeremy. So
you can call back with the other phone.
Moved along.
Because we're nice guys. We want to hear what you have to say.
Sure. Yeah. We sure are.
Two nice guys.
I want to hear
really
what Terry in Cleveland
yesterday.
Has to say. Hi, Terry. You got about a minute, Terry.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Well, I realized one thing, and that is offensively, they is the worst. They don't got no talent. So no matter who you put out there at quarterback,
thank you, Terry.
He's going to fail.
Thank you, Terry.
They have nobody that stands out on offense, and that's unbelievable.
Quinshon Judkins.
Defense,
Quinshon does.
Harold Fannett's looked pretty good the last 2 weeks. I mean, yeah, he dropped that one pass.
Harold was on his way, but it was right in his hands.
Yeah, but I like the fact that he run hard. That means a lot.
He does run hard. I like it, too.
Quick. Yeah. You know, but on defense, why did they trade Campbell for – what did they want with Campbell?
Money.
Better control, and they think better fit, I think, Terry. Better fit with what they want to do.
Did Hugh Jackson ever, offensive team, as bad as he was, did they ever not, I mean, was they best, this is bad offensively? Y'all tell me. Have a good day.
All right, Terry.
Hugh Jackson's not here, baby. Come on, that was funny.
Anytime Hugh gets mentioned, I immediately flash to Deshaun and think of a career wasted. Although he's doing just fine in the financial world now.
Deshaun Kizer, that is.
That's the one, not Watson.
Yes.
Yep. We doubled down on Deshaun's. Neither one has worked.
Mm.
Don't say it again because I'm afraid it's like Beetlejuice.
Oh, if you say it a third time, we're done?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They move you into a dome if that happens.
Say it three times, all of a sudden he'll appear.
Am I wrong?
Man, you're contemplating a lot today.
Am I wrong in being somewhat surprised that the offensive line has had such issues, knowing that they've lost their two starting tackles too often? DeJuan's out for the year, and Jack Conklin's been in and out.
So for the entire season, they've been at best four-fifths of their regular offensive line. Four-fifths.
At best.
Mm-hmm.
At best. They
And I'm not really good at fractions.
They've had issues. I think the interior of the line is still pretty good. Joe Bitonio, Ethan Posick, and Wyatt Teller. I do, and maybe I'm wrong. I'm not breaking down tape and everything else, but maybe I'm wrong about that.
Jeff, if you're – like, again, the Schefter story yesterday about potential guys that are going to get traded, and he had
– Bitonio and Teller on that list.
And Posick. All three of those guys. Like, there's just no way. Shelby Harris was also on the list, and so was David Njoku. But – three of your offense, your go-to guys on the offensive line, and you're going to have two rookie quarterbacks out there? Really? Unless you're trying to do them a favor, right? Unless you're like, you know what, Joel, we want to give you the same chance we gave Joe Thomas. If you want the opportunity to go join a team that has a chance to make the playoffs this year, then, you know, we'll grant you that wish and we'll get one of our young guys up in the spot because we know we're not going there. Do them right, you know, for their last run before they're done.
You think?
Yeah, I guess that's the only other way. I mean, if they came out and said, hey, this is a classy move on both sides, I'd be like, all right, I can live with it. But again, if you want your two rookie quarterbacks to succeed or even your one that you have as a starter right now, I don't know why you would get rid of any one of those three guys in particular. Sorry.
One of the problems here, Andrew Berry did try to add to the offensive line. And if we just, you must admit that. He tried to add to it. And he brought in a couple of veterans who you thought, okay, maybe this guy can do something. Cornelius Lucas, you know, he brought in, who had played in the league before. And you just thought, all right, well, woulda, shoulda, coulda. Can this guy do something for you? Thayer Munford is here, but is yet to play.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that, you know, if he's able to do anything and help out. It just, you know, you signed KT Leviston late, or you got him in, I think it was a deal with the Rams for a late round pick.
Mm-hmm.
You've brought in Cam Robinson, who hurt his ankle yesterday. I wonder if he's done.
Mm-hmm.
You brought in Tevin Jenkins. You did bring in some experienced guys who were available because they are not upper echelon linemen. That doesn't mean they can't go in and do a competent job. And we've just seen pass rush like absolute crazy. And that's been rough. I still contend, Andy, this team can run the ball. An offensive lineman will tell you they like run blocking more than pass blocking. And it gets back to play calling and designs and schemes and everything else. I can't believe that they went away from the run. I was texting with a coach yesterday who sent me something, and I responded and said, I said, can they not run the ball, or did they just abandon the run?
Is this the same guy every week?
No, okay. It's actually not.
Wow.
And I said, did they just abandon it? And he said, no, they abandoned the run. They just quit doing it. I mean, you're in a game and it was 9-3 at halftime. 9-3. And he gave Quinshon Judkins 6 carries in the second half. I mean, it wasn't more than a 10-point deficit until the fourth quarter.
I was watching right there along with you, thinking, how can they get back into this game? Because I do Browns math. Oh, they can get the conversion. Oh. But they can get 8 points instead of 7.
It was the first play of the fourth quarter when Green Bay went up 23-6.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, Andy, you're not out of the game. You know?
No, I mean, and
you had almost 15 minutes still to play.
And by the way, the hurry-up offense seemed to work. I'm not saying it got them points, but they were able to sustain two long drives in that fourth quarter. They had three. They had two really long drives in that fourth quarter. And yet, you know, nothing.
Cleveland is in Cleveland. Welcome.
What's up, Cleve?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, to me, the ownership doesn't really, is not really worried about anything too much right now. And so that nonchalant attitude goes all the way down the chain and comes up that, it seems like it's all nonchalant, that type of attitude that they have. And I agree with you guys about, you know, we could have ran the ball a little better, but I don't think anybody's worried about their job too much. And I'll let you guys go with that. I'll go. Yep.
Thank you, Cleveland. You know, and Andy, I've mentioned this numerous times today and numerous times over the last couple of weeks. I wonder if there were specific marching orders for this year. And I don't mean to go lose.
I mean, is it legal, though? I mean, say, well, hey, we're not going to win these games.
I don't mean to go lose games, but you didn't.
Yeah, if we don't win, it's okay.
And I'm going to give Andrew Berry a pass on this.
Okay.
You wanted to see DeJuan Jones as your starting left tackle. I get it. I did, too. You have Betonio. You have Posick. You have Teller. Those are guys that can play the game, have been able to play the game. Have they lost a step? Maybe. I'm not breaking it down. I couldn't tell you because I couldn't analyze offensive line play other than did you open holes or did you get sacked? I'm not going to break down film. That's not what I do. And Jack Conklin, if healthy, is a terrific right tackle. But Jack has had injury issues. He's having them again this year. And Dewan's out for the year again. And you haven't picked it up from there. But how you went into this season and did not add talent at wide receiver, thinking that what you saw from Jerry Jeudy last year was something you're going to build on, and keeping your fingers crossed that the short period of time that Cedric Tillman was clicking with Jameis Winston was a precursor of things to come with somebody else at quarterback. I mean, that's more than keeping your fingers crossed, Andy. That's blind faith. And then Isaiah Bond, great. But you're counting on him now to be your number two wide receiver. And Jamari Thrash, interesting, except it hasn't clicked. Don't get mad at me here, okay?
Yeah, again. Okay, I'm not going to get
your,
mad.
Your guy Baker Mayfield yesterday.
Yeah.
What did Tampa had Mike Evans?
He didn't have him yesterday.
Hold on.
Keep going.
Hold on, please.
Yes.
I the defender of all things Baker.
That's not what I am. You don't like Baker.
I'm not a big Baker fan.
Yeah, I know.
I said that at the time.
I know.
I didn't want him here.
I did.
You know that.
And I did.
I know. I wanted that other fella.
Yeah.
They had Mike Evans,
mm-hmm.
who's had some injury things just a little bit lately, but is usually bulletproof. He's played a lot of games. Chris Godwin, who's mm-hmm. coming back from injury. And Chris was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
McMillan, who's coming back from injury.
Mm-hmm.
So they had three really good wide receivers.
Okay.
What did they do?
Throw the ball?
They drafted Emeka Opoku.
Yeah.
Wow. Way to add to a position that the NFL rules allow you to, like, go nuts on.
Who was also hurt yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah, he got hurt yesterday. And what did they do? I'm sitting here with Tyvus yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and they have two guys named Johnson. And he said, was that Tez Johnson? Because if it is, man, I'm going to be upset. Tyvus either wrote something or was talking about it, and he said, the Browns need to draft this Tez Johnson guy because he's good.
I've seen him at Oregon. That's the crazy part, yeah.
Well, he stepped up and made one catch yesterday, an unbelievable diving catch in the end zone for a 46-yard touchdown. So they have four good wide receivers and then add more to it later. And they nailed it. They got some guys that can play.
Right.
Good for Baker. He's surrounded by great skill position talent. They have three really good running backs. They have Cade Otton at tight end, who's really solid and would be a really good wide receiver or a tight end receiving the ball, but they don't have to throw to him very much. Last year when Evans was hurt, Cade Otton was really good. They don't need him. He's a luxury. And that's what good teams do. You load up on guys that can help your team win football games. And look at Kansas City. You know, they got Xavier Worthy back. Terrific. They're getting Rashee Rice back. They're probably their best guy. They have Juju, who's still a competent pro. They bring back Hollywood Brown, very competent receiver. You add to the position group. You keep throwing assets at the thing the NFL is trying to allow you to do well. Browns didn't do that. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I totally understand what you're saying.
I don't get it. There were guys available in free agency. Nothing.
And the 12 phone lines that are packed and the folks that are listening to us on the Odyssey app right now probably all agree with you.
I just don't understand it. I don't get it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.